This is New England Public Radio. The state's chief elections officer has found himself in some election hot water. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Good morning, Carrie.
I bet you last week, like I, read the Globe report about the Secretary of the Commonwealth, Bill Galvin's employees, who are filing campaign paperwork on his behalf while still on the clock. He is having the situation investigated. A reminder that it is Galvin's job to uphold and defend the integrity of the democratic process in the state. Will that investigation and maybe its outcome change anything?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. They really went through and found that a number of Galvin's employees were turning in these signature sheets necessary to qualify for the ballot during work hours. It's not entirely unusual for state employees to do political work for their bosses, and two, it's not unusual for them to take time off in the middle of the day. But they do have to take time off, whether it's a half an hour or a half a day, to do this political work, or else they're in violation of state law. Now, you've seen Galvin's opponents say that this internal investigation is lacking, that this really should be an independent investigation by either the state auditor or the attorney general. He has enjoyed a rather easy run of it for many years. He has a significant challenge this time around. And I think this raises a question of how much he does, in fact, lean on these people who work for him to do the political work necessary to mount a statewide campaign as well.
But that's not uncommon for lawmakers, though.
It's certainly not uncommon for people who work in someone's state office to then on weekends go out gathering signatures or do campaign work, making phone calls for their bosses. I mean, it happens all the time, and I think in some respects it makes a lot of sense. I think the question with Galvin, who is not just a district politician, but a statewide elected official, when you look at his campaign and you have to wonder, at least, you know, we in the press don't really see much evidence. Who is the campaign manager? Who is the communications person? Who is doing fundraising for him? I mean, the kind of formal campaign apparatus we don't see, and I think that's because Galvin has not really had much of a challenge for many years, and his style of campaigning is one to kind of lean on incumbency and dodge the kind of debates and stuff that you sometimes see in the more high-profile races for governor or Senate. This is kind of shining a spotlight on the fact that perhaps he kind of leans on these employees, and that is fine as long as they're doing it above board and taking off the requisite time and not using state resources. But we'll see where the internal investigation goes now.
Matt, changing to a different topic entirely. Before the end of the month, the House is going to be debating that red flag gun bill sponsored by Marjorie Decker of Cambridge. Can you walk us through that bill? But also, there's been an alternative proposal put out there that has the support of 24 lawmakers, including the 7th Hampton District's Representative Tom Petrolatti.
In a nutshell, the Speaker has signaled that he's going to call a vote on what we're calling the Red Flag Gun Bill or the ERPO Bill, the Extreme Risk Protective Order Bill. And essentially, this would allow a household member to petition the courts if they believe someone is a risk to themselves or the public and have the courts temporarily take away their guns. The gun rights activists are very much opposed to this on two fronts, really. One, they see it as redundant with the 2014 law. Two, they're worried about parts of this bill that would allow a court to take away someone's license, essentially ex parte. They wouldn't even have to appear in court. They're concerned what this would do for due process rights, and they're really trying to shift the focus away from firearms and onto mental health. Rep. Joseph McKenna of Webster, along with 24 lawmakers, including 5 Democrats, have signed on to a letter that McKenna sent to House leadership, along with an alternative proposal that would really put the focus on judges committing people to mental health treatment if they pose such a risk. And accompanying that, if they are committed to a mental health treatment facility by the courts, then people like police chiefs, as well as the RMV and anyone else who issues these kind of professional or firearm licenses, could review someone's suitability to continue to hold them, but that would not be the focus.
Matt Murphy is a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you.
Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House, is now a podcast. You can subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. This is New England Public Radio.